Even though we all believe in the same Lord and the same King, Jesus Christ, yet every one of us has a place of fitting in the body of Jesus Christ, is God has anointed you with your gifts and your talents. And they're not the same as mine or yours. We're all different. Christ is the head. He brings the balance.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has served as a pastor for nearly 50 years, and he's committed to helping his fellow believers grow in love and service as the unified body of Christ. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 and ask for a free DVD sharing the encouraging story of Raul's journey with God. Today, Raul returns to the book of Nehemiah to explore how the Israelites united to restore the broken walls of Jerusalem. You'll see that as Christians, we still need to work together. We have different gifts and the Lord has given us different assignments, but our ultimate goal is the same, to build the kingdom of God. Stay with us to see how to seek out the Lord's will as you make yourself available for service. We'll start today in Nehemiah chapter 3. Here's Raul Reese.
In the Old Testament, we understand that every one of the books, especially chapter 3 of the book of Nehemiah, just because a bunch of names are mentioned here, 38 of them, and there are 10 gates mentioned in chapter 3, we know that it was an important thing to bring chapter 3 because the Holy Spirit inspired it. And so what I've done in my theme this morning, as we take chapter 3, I have titled the sermon this morning, Working Together to Rebuild the Walls. You see, in the preceding chapter, the good resolutions of the people are recorded here, yet this is an important chapter because it records the satisfactory work and their performance in working together in harmony in the unity of the Spirit through the love of God as God puts them together to work together in rebuilding the city walls. If you were to take chapter 3 of Nehemiah and to put it together with a New Testament book or chapter, I would have to say to you that the closest chapter in the whole Bible to chapter 3 of Nehemiah would be 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because what we have here recorded are those people who are uniting together to restore the walls of Jerusalem at an important time in the work of God. This is a book of unity, not a book of disunity. Anytime God wants to work in us and through us, He has to look for people that are unified to accomplish the work. The Psalm says, unless two walk together and agree together, then they can't really do anything apart, you know, from that. There has to be the unity of the Spirit. There has to be the unity of the oneness of mind. And sometimes, as God is wanting to establish, as God is wanting to do a work, there seems to be those people that don't want to do the work of God. We'll see those people here in this chapter too. But the chapter deals with 38 names, which are very important names, which those 38 names speak of all of the leaders, 38 leaders that were put together by Nehemiah so they could have their team next to the wall and they could do the work of the ministry together. Now, when you look at the New Testament books, for example, you look at Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, and Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And then 1 Corinthians 12. You find out that when God saves a person, that person becomes a brand new person. And that person becomes a child of the light, or you become a Christian. And the reason that that person is saved or rescued into the kingdom It's because God has a specific work for your life and for my life. Christ becomes the head of the church, and we become the body of Jesus Christ. But in that body, there are many members in the body with different gifts. That even though we all believe in the same Lord and the same King, Jesus Christ, yet every one of us has a place of fitting in the body of Jesus Christ. His God has anointed you with your gifts and your talents. And they're not the same as mine or yours. We're all different. Christ is the head. He brings the balance. Sometimes God will call you to be a toe. God knows exactly where you fit to bring balance and unity to the body of Jesus Christ. Same thing. In the rebuilding of the walls, Nehemiah went, and as when he went out and he looked at the gates and the walls, he didn't tell anybody, but he began to pray, and he began to pray as he becomes a type of the Holy Spirit, that God would give him the right people to be put at the right time, at the right place to do the work of God. That's what I'm praying for. Also, in this list of people, there conveys there a wholehearted commitment of the people to the work of God. They're not slothful. They're not procrastinators. They understand the sacrifice. They understand the cost of following Jesus Christ. They understand the ridicule of the enemy. It's never easy to become involved in a work of God and to think that there's not going to be opposition, ridicule, mockery. And I believe that through the work of God, as God has had you here for many years, so maybe just a few months or maybe just a few weeks or a few days, that God is the one that brings his people. God is the one that keeps his people. You see, in verse 5 of chapter 3, you also have this group of people that did not want to put their necks to the work of God. You have those people that have nothing to do with the work of God. Those are the people from Tekoa. The people of Tekoa did not want to be partakers of the work of God. They were no part of it. You have those people in the body of Jesus Christ, which are the murmurers and the complainers. And it seems that when God begins to do a new work, there seems to be those people that are not caught the vision, and they are the ones that are talking and gossiping, and the ones that don't have the vision, and the ones that are trying to kill the work of God. They've become comfortable. They've become procrastinators. They're comfortable just as they are. They have stopped growing for a long time, and they're becoming carnal in their motives. And they become a hindrance to the work of God. As God is steering the people up, they're always negative about the work of God. They always have nothing good to say about the work of God. Instead of encouraging, they're always discouraging people. Those were the Tekoatans, the guys from Tekoa. And then, these people in chapter 3 were able to risk their lives for the work of God. They risked their lives for one another as they stood together in unity and harmony through the love of God, as the Holy Spirit was steering them to do the work of God in the walls. I love when God brings unity to the body of Jesus Christ. I love it. You can accomplish so much, and people can see the unity. The people here had committed themselves to the work of God, but they put their lives on the line. And you'll read later on where they were working in the walls. With one hand they had a sword, and with the other hand they were doing the work of God, prepared to meet the enemy if they would come over the wall. You see the harmony of working together in the task of God. Nehemiah had assigned different teams to the people to work with each other on the walls. See, the problem here is that as Jesus Christ becomes the head of the church and we have gifts and talents, we need to understand that not every one of us possesses the same gifts or the same talents, and we need to be where God puts us down in the wall. Not to covet after somebody else's gifts or talents, but to be satisfied with the work of God that has given me to do in my own life. That's unity. We should not be coveting other people's gifts or other people's ministries. God wants to move in you and through you. And so we see that Nehemiah begins to delegate the authority for the work, and the people submitted to the work of the Holy Spirit, and they submitted to the leaders under them, and everybody worked in harmony and unity through the love of Christ. That's the only way that it can be done. No other possible way. Nehemiah got everyone involved in the work. Nobody was lazy. Nobody was idle. Everybody was involved doing something at the wall, doing something for God. I find it interesting that when David got out of the battle and he came home and started becoming idle is when he fell into adultery with Bathsheba. That's when we get ourselves in trouble, when we're not doing nothing for God. But when we're involved in the work of God and God is using our lives, we have no time to be idle because we're defending ourselves against the enemy that hates us. And this is Nehemiah. And as Nehemiah begins to build these walls around Jerusalem and the gates, what he does, he goes counterclockwise. He does this. He starts at the north wall, which is down by the sheep gate, and he moves from the sheep gate to the old gate. And then he goes to the west wall, from the valley gate to the refuge gate. And from the refuge gate, he moves to the horse gate. And from the horse gate to the east gate. And from the east gate back to the sheep gate. And they do a complete circle in rebuilding and unifying and bringing the work of God in 52 days accomplished and finished. As God begins to move among the people. Now, when we study chapter 3 and we look at chapter 3 in our own lives, how can we identify with chapter 3? Well, the way I identify myself with chapter 3 is by reading chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Understanding as Jesus Christ becomes the head of the church and I become part of the body, maybe a finger, maybe a hand, maybe a toe, maybe a knee, maybe an eye, maybe an ear. Every one of those parts in the body of Jesus Christ function together as the head leads. Every one of you has a part in the body of Jesus Christ. Every one of you, God wants to baptize you. God wants to give you the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that you can function in the body of Christ. But many times, we're not really allowing God to really work in us and to work through us because maybe we don't have the vision like Nehemiah. Remember, the vision begins on his knees in prayer. Without telling anybody what God had laid on his heart, Nehemiah gave himself to prayer for 4 months, to weeping and to fasting and to praying and to mourning. Waiting upon God so that God could move upon the heart of the king. And when God began to touch the king's heart and he saw Nehemiah's countenance, he asked him, Nehemiah, what is the matter? Nehemiah was able to share with the king, and the king was able to listen to him, but not only listen, but also to provide for all of his needs to accomplish the work of God. That's where you come in and I come in together. As God is touching us little by little, because it's all the work of the Lord. You have to understand your position in Christ. You have to understand your gifts and identifying your gifts in your own life and how God wants to use you in the body of Jesus Christ in accomplishing his work in these last days. And that was Nehemiah. Nehemiah was excited. And you know what's interesting? Let's look at chapter 3, an expository message here, and let's see what it has to say to us this morning. We're not going to read every name, but you can get a book on names and you can look up all their names. But I want to deal with the gates. There are 10 gates here, and these gates are very important. The first one is the sheep gate. And when you come to the sheep gate, literally, the sheep gate was the gate where the shepherds would bring the sheep through to the temple to sacrifice the sheep. And when you look at it in a typology, in the scriptures, in the Old Testament, we see the sheep gate representing here as we see Jesus Christ becoming our sacrifice on the cross. As we see Jesus Christ becoming the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He became our sacrifice. He was the sheep that was led into the slaughter. He was taken and he was nailed on the cross and they crucified him and they mocked him. And then on the third day he resurrected to give us life. So the sheep gate becomes representative and it speaks of the cross of Jesus Christ with John 10:11. The fish gate was the gate where the fishermen would bring their catch of fish into the city. And what's interesting about the gate, which is called here the fish gate, it literally represents to us this morning, the fish gate represents the gate that speaks of soul winning in the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ has called us to be fishermen of men. And this is in reference to the fish gate, in reference to Matthew 4:19, where Jesus Christ calls us to become fishermen of men. They would catch their fish in the Mediterranean, the Sea of Galilee, and then in the Jordan, they would bring him in and they would sell him in the city of Jerusalem. And they would come through the fish gate to bring all their fish. And then you have the old gate in verse 6. And the old gate is a very important gate. It is a gate that represents and it speaks of the old nature, Romans chapter 6, reckoning the old man to be dead. It's representing the old nature, the old self, being put to death, but now the new nature coming forth, and I am now a new person in Christ Jesus. That's what the old gate represents here. And then in verse 13, the valley gate. And the valley gate speaks here of the child of God's sufferings and testings in life. It represents all of the trials and all of the suffering that I have gone through. And it puts me in contact with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 5, where Paul the Apostle says, now that you've gone through these testings and sufferings, you're going to be able to tell others and to help others by giving your testimony to them in what you have gone through. And so we see that in the gate of the valley. And then in verse 14, the refuge gate. This was the gate where all the trash was taken out by the city. This was the gate that literally speaks of the works of the flesh. They are nothing before God. They're rubbish. They don't represent anything to God but waste. Also, the refuge gate was the place where the children of Israel would take their little children and they would throw their children into the fire to the god of Molech, trying to fulfill the works of the flesh. And of course, this gives us reference to Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 21, where Paul the Apostle speaks about the works of the flesh and then the works of the Spirit. And then the fountain gate. That's another interesting gate. For the fountain gate goes hand in hand with John 7, 27 through 30, where Jesus is speaking to the people, and he talks about this river of water that will come forth out of you, in reference to speaking to the work of the Holy Spirit. But most important, it is the work of the Holy Spirit in the child of God's life, as the Holy Spirit becomes the power in my life. This is what it talks about in the fountain gate. As the Holy Spirit now becomes the source of my life, in becoming a witness for Jesus Christ, in doing the work of God. And then you have to jump over all the way to verse 26. And the water gate here is another interesting gate, because this gate is representative of the Word of God. It speaks of the Word of God. John chapter 4, verses 10 through 14. And then in verse 28, you come to the horse gate. And the horse gate is very interesting, because this is where the horses were led through by the city. Now, the horses is symbolical in the Old Testament, speaks of power, and it speaks also as an instrument of war. And so the horse gate is representative, and it speaks of the child of God, the believer's warfare against Satan. And that's in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. How we are to put on the full armor of God, and how we are to stand strong in the might of the Spirit of God. You see? And so every one of these gates are important to the child of God. And then, of course, next is the Eastern Gate. And the East Gate is another interesting gate. It is the gate where the people would come through to go to the temple to worship. But also, this is the gate where Jesus Christ will come through. And it speaks of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Eastern Gate. And that's found in Ezekiel chapter 43, verse 1 and 2.
It's good to be reminded that God has a plan for using the unique gifts and talents He's given you. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. Now, if you'd like to review today's message, we'll be glad to send you a complete CD copy for a donation of $5 or more. To get that, simply call 800-634-9165 and ask for Roel's teaching from Nehemiah chapter 3. Now, today, as you consider how you can most effectively partner with your fellow believers in building God's kingdom, we'd like to tell you about a brand new resource. Simply titled Obey, Rawls' 4-CD series will encourage you to spend more regular time reading God's Word and seeking out His perfect will for your life. You'll also explore the rich blessings that come from following the Lord as His fully committed servant. Get in touch with us to order Rawls' 4-part audio series and find fresh inspiration to walk with God in obedient surrender. To make your purchase, visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165. And we'll send you this motivating new CD collection for a gift of $19 or more. That phone number again is 800-634-9165. To order by writing us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We'd also like to mention several opportunities for you to connect with us here at Somebody Loves You Radio. Download our free app to your iPhone or Android to access digital Bible studies, enjoy more Bible-based teaching, and utilize an easy Bible reading plan. You can also catch Rawls' teachings as podcasts. All of the Somebody Loves You Radio programs are available to download through Spotify or iTunes. And don't forget to join Rawl on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that provides a Bible-based guide for your life. We are fully committed to supporting you in your spiritual walk with guidance and hope from God's Word. We welcome your feedback on how we can better serve you, and we'd also love to pray for you as well. So when you get in touch with us, let us know how we can do that. This ministry is made possible through the generosity of partners like you. Every gift you give is tax deductible, and your donations help keep us on the air. We hope you'll join us again next time for more insights from the life of Nehemiah. You'll find reassurance that whenever you face opposition in your service to the Lord, He'll give you the strength and wisdom you need to persevere. Here's Raul now once again with the closing comment.
And then the last gate is the last gate in verse 31, which is called the Mithkat Gate. The Mithkat Gate is an interesting gate, for that gate there speaks in reference to the child of God's judgment, which we call the Bema Seat of Christ in Romans chapter 14, verse 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 17, and then also in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And it's in a reference to when everything is over with, and the child of God, the church, the bride of Christ, finds himself in the presence of God. And there we will be judged according to our works, not according to our sins, but according to our work. And everything starting from gold and silver and wood and hay and stubble will be thrown into the fire. And whatever is left, that will be your reward. So important that this morning we understand how we need one another to work together in harmony in rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem so that God one day can reward all of us together.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.